universe and everything. So settle in, get comfortable, and let our journey begin as we meet the hosts, internationally acclaimed mediums, Mick and Zoe Avery.
And welcome to Spirit's Work, the show that's designed to stretch your mind and broaden your understanding about life on Earth, life after death, and life in other dimensions. On the show, we discuss everything we've been programmed to believe and hopefully emerge with a fresh point of view that is more applicable to life now. Each week, through our connection with our spirit friends, we discuss various topics of interest and take great pleasure in listening to those who continue to walk with us and watch over us. In a most natural way, we are able to cross the divide between our physical world and the non-physical world when my husband Mick deep trance channels an enlightened spirit called Gregory Hay, who has access to great knowledge and wisdom. And this week's show is called Tribal Imperialism. Sit tight and stay tuned to see what that's all about. And if you'd like to join us with a question relating to our subject, the phone lines will be open. It's toll-free in the U.S. It's 877-876-5227. In Canada, it's 888-815-9756. And international callers, it's not toll-free, but it's only a quick call. And the number is 001-530-876-3222.
Well, hi, I'm Mick Avery. As well as Spirit's Work on bbsradio.com every Monday at 7 p.m. PST and Thursday at 1 p.m. PST, we have another radio show which is called Spirit Teaching, and you can hear that on artistfirst.com every Tuesday at 7 p.m. PST. If you'd like to know more about us, our books, CDs, maybe you would like to book an Akashic reading, please go visit our website, which is www.spirit-teaching.com, and also live at www.spiritsworkradio.com. What we're able to do as spirit mediums is to offer you the spirit world's perspective on the nature of our existence. When I go into the deep trance state, Gregory Hay, who is the spokesperson for an educational group in the spirit world called the White Cloud Group, will borrow my body for the whole show. I won't know about anything else that happens from that moment on, because my spirit, my consciousness, is transported to somewhere else. Please do go visit our website for a better understanding of how we work, because we wouldn't have got time to go through too much information at the beginning of each show, because it would take up way too much valuable time. And we, as the saying goes, like to develop the whole show to the spirit world, because that's what it's all about. So I'm going to say goodbye for this week. It's only going to take a few minutes before Gregory is here, I'm sure, and Sylvie's going to be looking after you and interacting with Gregory both on your behalf and also with callers. So have a great show, everyone, and goodbye for this week.
Goodbye, Mick. Gregory had an Earth life 300 years ago, but has continued to learn and evolve in the spirit world, and now he comes to share his wisdom with us for our benefit. The cloud group whom he represents were formed to bring us knowledge that will hopefully steer us toward a more peaceful and harmonious future. They are made up of all kinds of scientific minds and scholars from all walks of life, as well as ordinary people. The information we bring is without religious bias or political persuasion, and we believe in everyone's right to their own views and beliefs. And I'd just like to take this opportunity to say that we do have some reductions on our Akashic readings, our springtime reductions. So we're having a special sale. And if you would like to know more about that, you can go to our website, www.spirit-teachings.com, and log on to the Akashic reading page and find out more about it. An Akashic reading is basically a spiritual reading. It's not psychic predictions or messages from loved ones. It's a spiritual reading about you and your eternal life as a spirit being, basically. You will find out what soul group you come from, who your doorkeeper is. Gregory will help you and explain to you any gifts of spirit that you have. And we all have gifts of spirit. And about guides that walk with you. And really, basically, lots of things that you probably wouldn't get in any other reading, or not many other readings anyway. It's totally accurate portrayal of situations that you have done and achieved in your lifetime and as an eternal being, and how this affects you now, basically, as well as tying in with your physical pathway, so it's your spiritual pathway, your physical material pathway. It will help everything, believe me. It's a wonderful experience, so do take a look at our website, www.spirit-teaching.com, and have a look at our Akashic Reading page. And anything else, we've got merchandise and all sorts of information that will benefit you on your journey, no matter how long you've been on this spiritual pathway of awakening. There's something for everybody. Anyway, I do believe Gregory's with us now.
With love and light and peace be upon your pathway and your journey, my dear Vincent Byrne.
Thank you. Okay, tribal imperialism. All sounds rather, what shall I say, not sinister, but intriguing anyway. So would you like to explain?
Yes, I would like to. So, tribal imperialism, what it means is that it is the way in which human habitees of the earth tend to not only mimic situations that they see in other herding people, other herding beings, such as wildebeests or cows or even horses. You have different forms of hierarchy which have been formed quite simply because of the strongest animals usually coming to the fore to lead the pack in some way or other. You will have differences in which gender actually occupies this frontal role, this leading role of being. Now, this may well be a matriarchal society in which females actually take the leading role, or it will be in the reverse, and it will be a patriarchal society. You have many different reasons for other beings coming into alignment behind the power of one or other set of beings. Sometimes, as within walls, it is a lone situation, which is actually, for example, it's actually with walls that it's a matriarchal society, as yet it will be a main male patriarch who actually leads the pack. But that is only because it is a society which is backed up by the leading female matriarch of that society, which enables that male wolf to actually take the lead. Without their support, the male lead wolf would actually be rejected from the pack entirely. So that, in a sense, one might say that perhaps that is something that normal human societies ought to adopt, perhaps. Of course, we understand when we observe human beings that for the most part, most subjects of male dominance tend to be most certainly egotistical or in some way violent, single track. Oftentimes it will be that the male dominant role is something which is beset by egoism and singularity, so that it means that the male is simply thinking and reasoning in one single set of mind and interpretation. So that means that they generally will tend to be very dominated by one particular school of thought and will oftentimes be incapable of thinking in other different forms of rationale to accompany it. So, similarly, my dear friend, you will oftentimes have a being who is a patriarch purely and simply and will be dominated by their own views and reasoning and will not actually be persuaded by anyone else's view or point. And this oftentimes can become then a serial patriarch, which means to say that the being creates and generates such power within themselves that they will not let go of it at any cost, regardless of what anyone else thinks about them, regardless of whether they have actually felt a benefit for that leadership or not. Why we call it tribal imperialism is that because it tends to be, the mindset is one of obscuring all other thoughts. Now, when you look at in terms, what has this got to do with any ordinary person living in America or living in anywhere else upon the world? Well, actually, it's got quite a lot to do with all of you, quite simply because human beings tend to allow these situations to just come upon them. They don't actually take charge themselves. Rather, it's much, much easier to just allow someone already in power to dominate their lives. It means they don't actually have to think about anything, and that it's far easier to just allow whatever situation to develop. They may well be certain connotations of these developments which leave people feeling defenseless or angry or even beside themselves with worry over the choices being made, and yet will still refuse to actually physically do anything about them. This usually is because of this kind of tribal imperialism is set off purely and simply by the aggravation, the violence. Oftentimes it will be words or dominance in some other way, perhaps to do with even just the way that the person thinks. Maybe it will be that there are forms of emotional blackmail that are brought about by this leader in question to say to their subject, if you go against me, you are going against everyone, that you are being a terrorist, or that you are being, you are not being a nationalist, you are not supporting the country. They will always usually use these kinds of words in order to support themselves and create this unending, unassailable pyramid upon which they sit. Ring any bells? So that you have these situations, my dear friends, of forms of despotic rulers that appear all over the globe, and they are then actually supported by other rulers of a similar ilk, or would-be people who would like to assimilate to the same energy, but actually don't have the strength or the courage or even the ability to blackmail others into that, into allowing them to have that kind of role. So why is this a business of the spirit world? One might say. Well, quite simply, it's not to say that we are having a political fight here at any one or any standing. However, we do observe constantly that tribal natures, nationalism, tribal imperialist thoughts and forms that people have in their minds, how they hatch these thoughts, are actually brought about by the incidents and situations which develop in childhood, and that actually are situations which are not held in check by the societies which breed them. So, in a sense, you have these errant children who then later become the beasts of future generations. This is the point, really, I suppose, that we are trying to make here. Many human beings just purely misunderstand the fact that they actually all have a hand in how they create the beasts and monsters of their world, of their own environment, of their own society. Oftentimes you will see that one country will scratch its head over how it was possible for such a beast to live in their midst and create such a vengeful atmosphere. You have situations now of various countries around your planet led by despotic leaders, whether it is to do with leaders of Burma, to do with leaders of Zimbabwe, China, many other leaders I could think of actually throughout the world, upon which you sit, that you rely upon these self-styled beings who actually have no other value in their minds other than to create their own nest of understanding, to adopt the power principle, which does not lead people, but which favors themselves for their own purposes of maintaining the power threshold. Why do I say that this comes from society in general? It's quite simply because it does. It comes from exactly the exact same situations that you have happening in your cities and towns and villages, wherever you may live. You have beasts of burden. You have beasts who take upon themselves the negativity of the world and create greater and further negativity through their behavior and their attack upon the person, upon ideals, and upon individuals' morality. So that what you have coming out of this is not just the spirit world's point of view, but the broad spectrum of view coming from all of those past generations who have lived a life upon the physical world and have tried perhaps in their own way to eradicate such despotic, to try to minimize these kinds of energies, realizing their extreme negativity, realizing their extreme brevity of action and the way that they have created mass loss of life. Mass loss of life just not within physical human terms. Even the smallest rulers of the smallest parts of the planet, like Belgium, for example, the imperialist royal family that was a part of the head of the Belgian Empire, actually eradicated millions upon millions of Congolese children, women, and men. Slaughtered them in their millions. Completely wiped out most of the Congolese jungle. Purely and simply because they wanted the diamonds, the minerals, and everything else that the Congolese jungle had to offer. And that's what they did. And that was the smallest country. So now you have the situation in the present day where you have the largest of countries wielding exactly the same power and exactly the same possibilities are afoot. So what are you going to do as a people? Are you going to purely sit back and say, oh, well, it's nothing to do with me. I'm just a spiritual being and I'm not going to become involved. Well, it's obvious that even spiritual beings become involved. You may look at the situation of the flight of Tibet and the way that even those monks of Tibet and Burma too have been instrumental in trying to help the general population, trying to help them to ascend their own morality so that they may see not a political solution, but so that they may see their human rights become a part not just of their humanity, but of their spirituality, so that they may come to live in peace and kindness and care and love for one another, rather than hate, rather than people feeling that they are disenfranchised and at work, more than belittled, but less starving and unmanaged. So you have these different situations. The reason why I draw your attention to them, even if you live in some glorious and beautiful place like America, Canada, United Kingdom, France, Germany, wherever it may be, you live in these beautiful countries with stable situations which is brought about. And what you see, however, is that exact same situation is happening in your own towns and villages and cities, where you are allowing the behavior through lack of foresight, lack of understanding and education, and love and care. You see that people are taking it upon themselves to construct negativity, to destruct physical state. Not property, I'm not really interested in property, quite simply because I have nothing of it. It doesn't exist in the spirit world, so it really doesn't matter to me. However, I appreciate that people, human beings, are very much understanding of where they live and that they like to preserve what they have, what they have worked so hard for. I see no problem with that. However, it does appear to be that the constraints that human beings place upon themselves are really to try to, have been in the past, to try to ignore the problem of extreme negativity or the situations or that you have gang warfare and all of that, all of these instances of criminality which happen purely and simply because of lack of control, because of disparate situations which come about purely and simply because of a lack of spirit, a lack of acknowledgement, of kindness, as I say, of love and the intention of the spirit within. So what we have to do is to understand and focus upon these events and avenues at times, so that we can see that truly, yes, we are a part of this, and yes, we can do something. Our point of view from the spirit world is that we're chiming in with these sentences and these structures of organization, of observations that we have seen, purely because we are trying to show and focus upon these events in that people will be able to really truly understand and empathize with them and see exactly where these have arisen from, in exactly the same way that the despotics of your world are leading countries into despair and deprivation. You still see that organizations, small organizations, as they begin from the state where one person bullies another person and gets away with it. That is the first indication that you have a problem, and that it is a situation that has to be dealt with. If you don't, you end up with a beast.
So there we have to start there, because I was just thinking there has to be some common denominator, some
yes,
pattern going on here that we don't recognize in any other situation than when it gets to some huge situation like in Zimbabwe or whatever.
Yes.
So can you give us a few other, some examples of that on a smaller scale, that we're not actually correlating that this is this situation pending?
Well, part of this problem, of course, comes through the educational field. If you have people who are poorly educated, you would automatically say, oh, well, that person's poorly educated, so they must be more prone to violence. Or they must be more prone to, perhaps, because they have lack of attention or lack of familiarity with themselves, happiness and love and all of those positive and possible material possessions that they may well grasp upon in their lives, because they are not succeeding in that way. It then leans itself to the fact that they will actually generate rather more negative activity. This, of course, is simply bunkum. It's not the case. In fact, it will be the case that many of these energies actually come from much more affluent countries and families, whereby people who become despondent about perhaps their own family's wealth or whatever, or maybe actually become bored with it and want some kind of input in some other way. This in itself is something which perhaps it belies what energies can be at work here. For in truth, dear, if you have a situation where a child is happy, and has a a good roof over their heads, all that they want, all that they need, and yet they turn to violence, or they turn to some form of thuggery, some kind of way of harming another person or animal. You have to believe not that it came from the violence within a family, but actually that it came from the violence within a mind. And within a mind is the condition that we have to draw our attention to. Because the violence within a mind comes from the lack of attention to understanding fully what violence means. So perhaps it may be this human being has not really understood the relationship of self to violence, what pain really feels like. Now, I understand that for some human beings, it can be that pain and violence itself releases a pheromonic activity, a chemical, or a whole nest of chemicals unleashed within the physical state. And this then becomes embedded, becomes self-supporting, much like any other chemical release. If it is extensive enough, it will become addictive. Don't forget, you are all a collection of chemicals interacting within a sphere of life. And how you react to it, much of it will be towards chemical infection. And what you are doing is reacting because of the reactions you've had from a certain situation you have observed. Many of these interactions are not just emotional, but they trigger releases of chemicals, which enable you to have sways of opinion or how you feel about the subject. That's part of the reaction that you are facing. So it may well be then that, as I say, it doesn't necessarily come from a particular strata of society. Unfortunately, it has been of late that many people have observed this building up and saying that it is subjective only to poor environments. I appreciate that perhaps much of the criminality exists in poor environments purely and simply because it's not actually dealt with, because people are out of their comfort zone. They don't know how to deal with it, don't know actually how to present an alternative, lack the knowledge to be able to do that.
But isn't that, you could say that better educated people or people in power of a higher standing and position can just make bigger messes, really.
I understand that,
and
yes.
And do more damage.
Yes, and actually become far more manipulative because they have the intelligence to do that.
Yes.
And that, unfortunately, I'm saying, tends to be what happens as well. So tribal imperialism doesn't just come from poor people. That's what I'm saying, really. It comes right across the whole spectrum of society, quite simply because what you have is, it's the inference of whether a person has it within their mind that that's what they want to create. So that's the first point, really. It's to do with the subjective understanding from a personal point of view as to whether that individual really relates to how that reaction is going to affect them. And if their reaction to that affection is going to be something that they gravitate to or that repels them. That's purely it. The sequence of events is set.
So, regarding the consequences are just not important, basically. If they're not important to the act that they're going to commit, then that is the big problem.
That is the big problem. It's the relationship. They don't actually see it. Mugabe, for example, is a person who will completely ignore all of the interaction that has happened due to the event being unleashed. Will deny it. Completely deny it. Even though it was actually physically unleashed, personally.
I do, but there are also people, really, that would fall into his category of other countries
absolutely.
That wouldn't see that would look at him and see those problems in him as a dictator and just the beast that he is, but they wouldn't actually look at themselves, recognize it in themselves or anybody else that they were fond of, shall we say.
Of course, because many of these leaders have this great adoration and that kind of thing, quite simply because many people will see this as a champion. And it doesn't matter what the beast creates. Whatever the beast creates is perfectly all right because we are behind it. Because so long as we are behind it, we're not in the firing line. That's the point. Many such beasts will actually use the deprivation of what will happen to them if they don't follow the beast. You see?
Yes, but what is it about people that don't recognize that within themselves that they're doing to their people?
Well, because they choose not to. That's a choice. It's a specific choice. That's the point I'm making, really. Idi Amin never had a choice. He never made the choice. It was always a constant. That was what he wanted to create. Wanted to be able to deliver such retribution to his own people and to other people who were actually sharing his country. And that was the whole point. So it didn't really matter because no one was going to stop them. The whole situation of the situation of South Africa and apartheid was purely and simply because no one was willing to stand up to it. No one was actually there saying that it was wrong. In fact, all of the other imperialist nations round about were applauding it. And behind the affront of respectability were actually saying secretly and were supplying them with arms and were supplying them with money and wealth and buying their diamonds and their gold that they mined on the backs of slavery. Why? Quite simply because they were all doing it too. All of the other countries of Northern Europe, for example, if you look at the actual history of Northern Europe, the Americas, wherever it is, humanity has sought to utilize other lesser tribes, take the power from them, and use them in slavery.
Well, look at England. I mean, we've got the most history
going on here. So, look
what's happened here.
Yes, absolutely so. And even in the Arab states, you will see, even in the African states, you will see Namibians being used by other Arab nations and by other African nations. Different tribes will take Congolese prisoner and as slaves, will take and rape their women, will utilize whatever they will of it. All tribes do it. If you look at it in this connotation, you would think, well, perhaps I don't want to have anything to do with humanity, because it obviously has not succeeded. It's part of the reason, I suppose, of why we say, if humanity really wants to become brighter and more beautiful, how can it be possible that humanity goes to explore the rest of space when it hasn't even dealt with its own planet and its own structure of natural surrounding, its own viability? Humanity has not been able to find peace. In all this time, thousands and thousands of years, millions of years, in fact, of evolutionary history, humanity still does not have even a part of the rise of spiritualizing. That doesn't mean to say that we have defeated. What it does mean is that all of the millions of us who have had a physical life, we are all still here trying to will humanity into understanding that their cause, their own central tenet in life has to be to become beings of peace, to become beings of love, to become beings where they see the awful situations and they are not powerless to do anything about it. but they actually constructively create solutions.
Well, absolutely, and this is why that we are doing this program and all of the other wonderful show hosts on the BBS radio, for a start, are doing their shows as well, because this is exactly it. We are trying to open people's eyes and help people along their pathway to a more spiritual pathway, basically, and hopefully this will ripple out into the world. And obviously, it's not just us. It's lots of other stations are doing the same, and people in centres and that sort of thing. So it is growing gradually. I think we don't doubt. I mean, obviously, there's more people working, we call them light workers, spirit workers, light workers, or whatever, than there was in the past, for a start,
yes.
Isn't there?
Yes.
So, you know, there's a difference there.
Yes, I suppose the difference had been, however, in the past, that very much there was structured religion, which then most people relied upon in order to create their own spirituality and their understanding of how to lead a better life, how to form their pathway. It didn't mean to say that by having those religious structures that you then remove all the monsters. There were still monsters upon the world. But it it still meant that there was a form of way that in a sense was structured, but that also took away people's own individuality. The difference that you have now is that people try to struggle for their own individuality, realize it, that it's possible because they see other countries having their own individuality, other people having freedom, and that it's something that they want to take for themselves. Of course, freedom is only in the objective of the eye of the beholder, of what you consider freedom to be. It's your own personal choices, and many will say, well, surely, then, if I was to have the freedom to abuse this animal or to do what I wish of this situation in a carnal nature or whatever it is, that I can because I have my own free will, and that is my right as a being. Of course, it will be. These different issues are subject to society's emotions, to their stabilizing laws and understanding. However, unfortunately, most of it was created within the guise of perfected religious understanding, which then tended to restrict people's views and their insight. So hence you have problems with people, perhaps even genders, where perhaps with some countries that women aren't allowed to, shall we say, take birth control or something like that, because it's supposed to be against God. I've never heard of anything to do with God that such a thing could be against. It's a ridiculous set of proposals that people have. And who could ever say that God was in image, or that human beings was in the image of man, of God? It's just not possible. That predisposes that God is in the image of being. Yet God is within everything.
Okay, so what about, I mean, there's a situation, for a start, like I was just saying, in a lot of the Western countries of the world,
yes.
Spirituality has grown. I mean, you only have to look at
yes.
the, you know, like I say, light workers, spirit workers, holistic therapies, metaphysical bookstores. I
yes.
mean, it's just really grown.
Thankfully,
oh,
yes.
Yeah. So therefore, that means that children, the next generations anyway, will hopefully be slightly more, how should we put that?
Well, we'll certainly have the possibility of greater education.
Well, yes, and a more, how can I put it? I can't think of a word anyway. But anyway, so...
We'll become more enlightened.
Well,
more
yeah, I was trying to avoid that word, but yes.
Yes, yes,
okay.
I know.
But anyway, but then now we're thinking of all of these other countries that we've been talking about, which are huge. So, how does that work? I mean, you know, what what's going on there? I mean, do they in, say, Japan, China, Burma, Zimbabwe, or whatever, do they have anybody, like, any form of sort of connection with spirituality, as in mediumship or, you know, that sort of thing?
Well, that depends, doesn't it?
Light workers.
In the main, no. The reason for it is, for example, in China you have Shintoism, which is a form of Buddhism. You also have perhaps to do with relationships with the earth spirit. So it's really to do with how different gods, perhaps, or different situations of relationship between different beings that exist as embodiments of higher deities tend to then have influence upon people's lives, and that may be how they adorn themselves, how they pray to, or how they create ulterior energy towards. That doesn't mean to say, of course, that healing is not something which is brought about. It is, of course, through all different kinds of therapies that they have long since educated themselves over, particularly, of course, to do with various kinds of remedies, herbalism, and all kinds of situations, some of which, of course, are very truthful, and others leave a lot to be desired, like using tiger's claws and bear's claws and all of that kind of thing, and various parts of these animals, keeping them in very restricted conditions in order to bring about these kinds of farming methods, are really quite horrendous and barbaric and really should not be continued. Similarly, vis-a-vis, you would see their use of different parts of other animal beings, like whales or sharks or turtles or whatever. These are all things which actually may have evolved over thousands and thousands of years. However, you would wish to see that modern forms or more educational forms of understanding take precedence over previous thinking. Otherwise, you cannot say possibly that humanity is going to evolve. Now, if you are looking at other properties, perhaps to do with other countries of Africa and that kind of thing, you will see once again herbalism of different kinds. You will also see perhaps a juxtaposition between themselves and the spirit of their own ancestry. And there is a certain familiarity there with many tribes as they practice the same kinds of familiarity as have native people of North America and Canada and many other tribes of South America too, still practicing the same kinds of spirituality as have been right throughout much of the world. This, of course, has arrived purely and simply because of actual physical presence and actual people's individual experiences, which help to ferment and create the fundamental shifts in feeling and idea. It's then, of course, that religious understanding has come along to try to shape and bend those, or maybe even wipe those things, those thoughts and appreciations out from the minds of people, saying that they are evil or saying that they are distrusting of these kinds of energies and that they must move away from them because of their extreme negativity. Of course, it is to say that with many people that they are actually creating a sort of a wilderness for themselves in then being taken away from their natural resources and their natural understanding. Not saying that all of it is perfect. It isn't. Clearly, humanity has to move away from the Stone Age, away from times of medieval understanding in some parts, but not in all of it. It's not that you move away from the whole thing, but you have to understand that if you are really going to succeed in being a harmonized culture, if you are really going to succeed in being harmonic to the planet upon which you live, you have to throw away, leave certain customs of behavior because they are not equitable with life and humanity. They are not equitable with harmonization and love and energy of giving and positivity toward other beings.
I know, it's very difficult to generalise over a country.
It's
difficult, and it shouldn't be. We shouldn't do it, really. But, you know...
It's just really for the purpose of this situation to raise the point that with tribal imperialism, what you are really doing is you are trying to see that there are ancient archetypes of human behaviour which have been progressive and good throughout humanity's behavior. There are also other ones which are extremely inherently bad and negative. And these have to be abandoned by humanity. That doesn't mean to say that you encourage them or that you turn a blind eye to them if they raise their heads once again. If you see then a culture of extreme negativity and violence in your own community, it is for people to actually take that behavior and snuff it out. You have to be able to do that unless you want to fail in your own children's understanding, in breathing their security and their harmonization, their love and intention with the world will be derailed by these other people's activities.
Yes, well, I think we need to talk about that, really, about actually spotting it in our own children. You know, these traits, really, and, you know, obviously this gang warfare in all countries of use. And
yes.
I think we need to dissect this and take it apart so that we can see how it relates to, you know, to ordinary situations that we see every day on the street or whatever, you know, as social behaviour.
Yes, absolutely so. Now, I have to say, my dear friend, much of this, in fact, begins in environments of learning. Strange as it may seem. And it's created within environments of learning, first of all in the home. So you are dealing with these issues or not dealing with them depending upon the parent's results and how they are interacting with the child. I am well aware that occasionally you will have children who come from perfectly loving parents, perfectly good parents, who do their very best and don't actually realize that for some reason their child has gone insular into their thinking and has not actually come out with this whole other aspect of their character. It's as though they're nursing a beast in their midst that they don't realize. However, with much of it will be that it comes from the directive of the parent, not to say the child is necessarily echoing the parent's view, although that too can be apparent. So what do you do then if you have this situation whereby you have a child which is brought up in a situation where there's institutionalized violence? It's extremely difficult. If you have people who feel that their energy is of a low ebb and that they respond more to violence than they do anything to do with sensitivity or loving awareness, quite simply because sensitivity is too painful to have. That then becomes an actual physical problem. For that, it's too big.
Can I just bring up this point of prison sentences and things like that?
Yes.
There was a child of three, in 1993, there was a child of three taken from its mother in a Mau. And,
I remember.
By two 10-year-old boys, and they tortured him, they cut his fingers off with scissors, they rubbed paint in his eyes, they stoned him and kicked him, pushed batteries up into his anus, and then left him on a railway track to be run over by a train. Now, they were 10 years old.
Yes.
Okay. They're coming out of prison now. They were in for 14 years, half of their sentence, basically, and they're being awarded anonymity for life and being given new identities, actually. And they're being relocated to Australia to live out the rest of their lives under a new identity.
Oh, how nice for the Australians to have such a presence.
Yes, so they're 24 years old now.
Yes.
Obviously, there's an outcry in the general public, and I don't know what Australia did to deserve that, but or how it was allowed. That is allowed to happen? You know, why I don't understand when ordinary law-abiding citizens can't get into Australia or anywhere else. But what about these two boys? They were 10 years old.
Yes.
They knew what they were doing at 10
Absolutely.
Years old.
Yes.
They knew I know that you say that everybody has to have the right to change and can change.
And to be forgiven.
And to be forgiven.
Yes,
but,
of course.
But that was a pretty severe thing that happened there, wasn't it? I mean, that was something beyond anything. Any normal sort of childhood prank.
Yes.
So, can you talk about that and what you feel about that?
Yes, absolutely. So, those two people's energies are dystoic. They still are dystoic, regardless of what inference they might put upon the puppet or upon anyone that they meet. It is still within them. So what do you have is a situation where a society thinks that it has a structure inherent that it can make well. It is obvious that the same structure is employed to try to make well men out of army soldiers who become chaotic in their understanding from having to deal with death and destruction themselves. And that certainly doesn't work, quite simply because they are taught to, by some strange methods of reliving their situation in order to then somehow free their mind. I'm not saying that there will never be a day for these people to actually leave behind the situation that they created in that poor little boy's life. However, by creating a benefit for that kind of behavior and saying that you are going to receive, yes, you are going to have a sentence whereby you will be taken away from society, but in fact, you will be profited in this way of framework. You will be dead and made to right, somehow miraculously creating this wealth of being from such a thing. I have to say that within all implementation of these kinds of psychiatric care, you are going to see that at some stages there will be some people who behave in and who relate to the ways in which therapy works and that it actually works for them. However, it doesn't mean to say that even after 14 short years or less, that they are going to be completely made well and be able to be released upon society once again. How many people have you seen who have done such monstrous things, created such monstrous acts upon people, been released, and then created exactly the same behavior shortly after they have been released?
Yes, well, I mean, this is a problem, isn't it? Where do you, you want to help people change and to give them the benefit of the doubt, but also the public needs protecting.
Then the actual situation of inference must come from exactly the same model that we use in the spirit world. And that comes from this, quite simply, that if you have a person who created great harm to someone else. If you have a person who created such torture, then they have to understand the absolute tragedy of what they created. And that is something that they really do have to live with. However, what they also have to do is learn to help others who have created the same thing, not to to dwell and revel in that energy, but to understand the true brevity with which it was created and the energy with which it was created.
Well, I think that we're going to have to go into that in detail next week, if that's okay
yes,
with you. And
absolutely.
I have other lots of other questions that
I
we
understand.
Would like you to answer on
yes,
that.
Yes, of course.
So that would be lovely. Thank you, Gregory.
Thank you so much. God bless and good night.
Okay. And we hope you've enjoyed the show. I'd just like to mention our website again. It's www.spirit-teaching.com. Do go on the site and find out more about us. Maybe book yourself an Akashic reading while there is a reduction. And do join us again on Monday and again on Thursday on Spirit's Work. And I'd like to say thank you so much for listening. My name is Sylvie Avery, and you've been listening to Spirit's Work. Until next time, be peaceful. Be positive and focused on your goals, knowing that you're not alone in trying to create a better world. Goodbye.
$5,000 per week take you? Discover the exact details of a simple and proven system that quickly puts $5,000 to $10,000 in many students' pockets every week. What's most amazing is that there are almost no computer skills required, and you can start pulling in cash automatically within just a few hours. We are absolutely convinced that our proven system will create massive wealth for virtually anyone, and we'll prove it. Go to bbscashflow.com now and get all the details. That's bbscashflow.com.